I want you to look at a verse today. And the verse that Mason read is a verse that we're going to totally dissect. We're going to take that verse and maybe word by word and phrase by phrase, we're just going to open it up and ask this question. How does Christ live in me? I remember as a teen in St. Louis, in the devotionals that we would have, the youth devotionals that we would participate in, I remember the song that we sang from this verse. Chad, do you know this song? It's a great, powerful, wonderful song. And it also helps you to memorize it and remember it in this way. But while you have your Bibles open, let's look at it again. And what Paul is saying here is, just to give you the gist of where he is at this point in the book, they were thinking about the inferior old law. And Paul says, don't go back to that. Don't go back to that. You have something that is superior. You have the new covenant, the new testament, the new law. You have something that's much greater than that. And then he goes on to make this statement. I, Paul, have been crucified with Christ. Now look at this. It is no longer I who live, here it is, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, Brian could not have led a more appropriate song, the song before last. That number 85 that we sang, you couldn't have led a better song as what encapsulates this message. And I can think of the times that I have watched people die behind me here in this water. There have been a lot of them. And we need a whole lot more of them. Buried with Christ, my blessed Redeemer. Here's what we're going to be talking about. Dead to the old life of folly and sin. Satan may call, the world may entreat me. There is no voice that answers within. Think it not strange? Things I once cherished cannot allure me of charm as before. For in the flesh with Christ I have suffered. Old things are past. I love them no more. Dead unto sin, alive through the Spirit, risen with him from the gloom of the grave. All things are new, and I am rejoicing in his great love, his power to save. Sin hath no more its cruel dominion. Walking in newness of life, I am free. Glorious life of Christ the Redeemer, which he so richly shares with me. Dead to the world, to voices that call me, living anew, obedient but free, dead to the joys that once did enthrall me. Yet 'tis not I, Christ liveth in me. How does that happen? How does that occur? I want you to take your Bibles back to Romans chapter 6, 6 through 14. And if you have a young one sitting beside you, I want you to have them count how many times just in this reading the words dead, death, died, dying occur as we read Romans 6, 6 through 14. And what does it mean to be crucified with Christ? Here is our reading from Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Watch this. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he has died, verse 10, he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. Did you notice how frequently the apostle talked about dying? And in the first five verses of Romans chapter 6, he talked about the process of dying to sin. That you die to sin because Jesus died for sin. That in verses 1 through 5 of Romans 6, that you're buried right there in that liquid tomb. Enough water to overwhelm you, bury you, cover you up, immerse you. But you don't stay there. You rise to walk in newness of life. And as you do newness of life, you experience the fact of being crucified with Christ. Did you notice that Paul says, it is no longer I who live? What a fascinating thought that is. And if you take your Bibles back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to read a little bit about that in verses 10 through 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. When he says, it is no longer I who live, what does he mean by that? Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might also be manifested in my body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Watch this, 14. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will be present with us, with you. Paul says, it is no longer I who live. When you go to the first chapter of the book of Colossians and you get toward the very end, there is a fascinating verse. It's verse 27. And here he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is our hope? What is the hope of glory? The fact that Christ is in us. And we have talked about what that process is. To the church at Galatia, in chapter 4, verse 19, Paul said it this way, until Christ is formed in you. I want to ask you today. I want you to ask yourself, is Christ being formed in my life? That other people out here in the world, the pagan world, can look at me and say, you know what? They don't really live. Because Christ has taken up residence in their lives. You see, what he suggests to us in this verse is that we have to put on the new and we have to discard the old. And if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, that's exactly the terminology that Paul gives to the church at Ephesus. Let me read it to you and you follow along right there in your Bibles and see if you can get this. That you put off, verse 22, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to its lust, the deceitful lust, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind so that you can put on the new man which was created according to God in the true righteousness of holiness. Let's pause the button right here. Let's pause the button. It's not enough to get rid of the old. That's not enough. When you go to AA, as many people have done, and as you go there and you finally come to grips with the reality of what really is affecting my mind and my behavior, I have to stand up before a group of people and I have to make a confession. My name is Joe Jones and I'm an alcoholic. Joe, it's not enough. It's not enough to say that I have a problem. I have to replace that chemical dependency with something else. Because if I don't, then seven more wicked spirits will come in and take over and it'll just implode my life. That's what Matthew 12, 43 through 45 says. It's not enough to get rid of it. You have to replace it with something else. And that's what he said in Ephesians chapter 4, 22 to 24. And that's what he says in Colossians chapter 3, 8 through 10 and 12 and following. Let's read that. You have to discard it, but also replace it. 3:8. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these. Anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Since you what? Put off the old man and his deeds, his way of life. Now verse 10, put on the new man. There's no hesitation. There's no segue. There's no waiting. After you discard the old, get the new man in there. Put on that new man. Who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Now, what are the characteristics of the new man? Verse 12. Since you are the elect of God, since you now follow Jesus, since you are a disciple of Christ, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. Not that you could do, you should do, you can do. He says you must do. And then put on love, which is the bond of perfection. It's love that holds it all together. Tina and I had some close friends in southern Indiana when we preached there for 3 or 4 years, and they came real often to Frankfort to see us after we left there. And it was a middle-aged couple and another lady who loved our daughter so much. Every time our daughter saw this lady, it was Christmas in July or in April or whenever it was, she would just shower them with gifts. Godly, wonderful people. One Sunday, after they left us, the lady reached into her purse. And when she reached into her purse, she just grabbed what she thought were eye drops to put into her eye. You know what it was? Super glue. I'm serious. She put super glue in her eye. They had to rush her immediately into the emergency room and start flushing that out of there. Super glue is to bond. And in verse 14, he says, that's what love does. He said, love becomes the bond of perfection. Paul said, in the life I live in the flesh. You know what? Nobody in this room is Superman or Superwoman. Nobody. Nobody in this room has a big S on their chest and says, hey, look at me, man. Now that I'm a Christian, I can conquer anything and everything. Oh, no. We have to live it in the flesh. And here's how you do that. He says, I live by faith. That's how you no longer live to yourself. That's how you're crucified with Christ. You live a life of faith. Romans 10, 17, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing through and by the word of God. I hope today as you exit the room that your faith is increased by what you heard at 9 o'clock and what you heard at 10 o'clock. That you have a greater faith. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, today, I won't, but today I could go into a little bit of a tirade about thousands and thousands of people who are living their lives by fear today. Fear. I'm not talking about people who are already with compromised immune systems. I'm not talking about those folks. I'm talking about them healthy folks who've decided to live their lives by fear. I mean, really. How am I going to live my life in the flesh? Paul says, I'm going to live my life in the flesh by faith. And I'm going to do it through the Son of God. That's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to plug into that power source. I'm going to do it through the Son of God. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because they talk to us about Jesus. And there's no other way I can live my life through faith in the Son of God if I don't know who Jesus is. I don't know what Jesus did when he was confronted with sickness and illness and viruses and heart disease and cancer and leprosy. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We've been studying John for months in here to increase our faith in Jesus. He said, I'm going to live my life through him. Who is him? It's Jesus. The one he says who loved me and gave himself for me. He loved me. And I want to tell you something. If you love somebody, there are going to be times when you are called upon to prove it. Show me. See, I don't have to tell people this a lot of times, but I spent 7 years of my life in the state of Missouri. The Warrens know a little bit about Missouri. Adam's parents live there. It's a show me state. And God says, I'm going to show you how much he loved you. He loved you so much that he gave himself for you and for us. Freely. Willingly. And the question this morning is, as we, you know, culminate this particular message and this one text. To me, this is the question. Are you in Christ? And if you are in Christ, then Christ should be in you. I mean, it works in tandem. It works in harmony. It works together. If you say, yes, I am in Christ. Yes, I am a Christian. Yes, I follow Jesus. Yes, I'm a disciple of Christ. Then the flip side of that is, then Christ better be in you. Am I right about it? Amen? See, that's it. It's that simple. Let's look at it one more time by way of culmination. You ready for this? Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I, W. Tom Hall, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What are you going to do with that? Brian, as we stand and sing.